Welcome back to the Hoth Hangout Podcast, where the banter is cooler than a Wampa's hug.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Joey.
And we're here to break down all things Star Wars, the movies, the shows, and beyond. And maybe even a few hot takes along the way from our icy corner of the Outer Rim.
Whether you're here for deep dives into the saga, theories from a galaxy far, far away, or just to hang out with fellow rebels and scoundrels, you found the right cantina table.
So grab your lightsaber, park your X-Wing, and get ready.
Because this is the Hoth Hangout Podcast.
As a quick reminder, if you're not subscribed to the Hoth Hangout Podcast on YouTube, check us out there and subscribe for the video version of every podcast, as well as our reactions to the latest Star Wars shows.
You can contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts or questions.
You can find the Hoth Hangout Podcast anywhere you get your podcasts, including both Apple and Spotify. Additionally, please consider leaving a 5-star review, as it does allow others that love Star Wars to more easily discover the podcast as well.
Connect with us on Instagram, TikTok, or X at Hoth Hangout on each of those platforms, or in the Hoth Hangout community Discord server.
Lastly, you can watch the live stream of the episode on either YouTube or Twitch at Hoth Hangout on each of those platforms.
Now let's jump into today's episode.
Welcome in to the newest episode of the Hoth Hangout Podcast. Hope you're all doing well. Hope you enjoyed, for those of you who are video watchers of the podcast, the brand new intro that went, a lot of work went into that. So big shout out right off the top of the podcast to Gibbo for all that went on behind the scenes to make that video as awesome as it is. So, and if you're an audio only listener, check out the video version, because the video of the podcast intro is pretty cool. So, having said that, don't have to do an intro like we normally do. Joey, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. I'm a little confused with our timing now that we have to just go right into it. But doing pretty good. Just excited. I see the new setup, Ben. So I'm excited. You got your new space. You got your new house. You got your new place to podcast. How's it feel to be an official homeowner and have a new place like that?
It's great. It's been fun. You can't actually see it because it's like cropped out of the shot, but there is a ton of boxes on that side of the basement right now. So we have everything in the house now, and it's just a matter of continuing to unbox day by day. But yeah, it's been good, kind of getting adjusted to being a homeowner officially. And I tell you what, when you're living in an apartment, you don't really need to own a lawnmower, and then it becomes very apparent quickly that you need to own a lawnmower. So,
you're gonna get your steps in every week now.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, thanks for asking. It's been a fun last 2 or 3 weeks getting everything situated and whatnot, and looking forward to all that is to come, and also looking forward to what's to come the rest of this week, because in today's episode we're gonna be talking about pretty much all things Lego Star Wars, especially Lego Star Wars Rebuild the Galaxy Pieces of the Past, which comes out on Friday, September 19th. That's 2 days from the time of this podcast recording. And we're going to be reacting to those episodes and providing videos on the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel, which, by the way, still only 4 subscribers away from 500. We're getting all that much closer to that big mark. So appreciate those of you who are subscribed, and if you're not yet, definitely hit the subscribe button. Before we get into some of our discussion about Lego Star Wars Rebuild the Galaxy Pieces of the Past, we do have a couple pieces of news we want to cover, some of which is actually also related to Lego Star Wars, and we'll definitely get to that too. But we want to kick things off with talking about the Emmys, which, if I'm not mistaken, were just this most recent weekend. And Joey, are you someone who likes to watch award shows? Like, what's your typical routine, or lack of, if you aren't an award show person? Or what is your routine if you are an award show person?
I am of the population that never knows when an award show is on until I happen to look on social media that day and I see everyone posting either their predictions or their thoughts on who was snubbed, When the Emmys were on this weekend, I actually did see that they were on. They were on that night, so I was able to view in a little bit, and I did see one of the awards going. If you're watching the video here, you could see we're going to be talking about Andor winning a few Emmys, and I actually was watching when it won one of the Emmys. The outstanding writing for a drama series, which I was super excited about. I let out an audible gasp when I heard that, and apparently it was Tony Gilroy's first Emmy even too. So just to see that a Star Wars show was really, and we've talked about this, you know, how critically acclaimed it was in the world of TV, and to be true, so much in fact that it won an Emmy.
Yeah, it feels good to be a fan of this show and to see kind of all of the hard work and the great storytelling that came out of it to be rewarded and acknowledged in the form of an award show like the Emmys, like the highest, at least Emmys, I think, is American shows only, as far as I'm aware. But in terms of like American television, the highest possible achievements and awards that you can receive. So Andor took home 5 Emmys in total. Quite a good showing, if you ask me, including Emmys for Outstanding Writing for a Drama Series, Outstanding Fantasy or Sci-Fi Costumes, Outstanding Production Design for a Narrative Period or Fantasy Program, which is an hour or more, Outstanding Picture Editing for a Drama Series, and Outstanding Special Visual Effects in a Season or a Movie. So definitely not necessarily like one particular category of awards that they took home either. Kind of all across the board, whether it be the costumes, the production design, the editing, the visual effects. But the one that really stands out to me is the first one that I mentioned, Outstanding Writing for a Drama Series. I'm not totally aware of everything that it was nominated against, but I can tell you that I am so glad that it won that award in particular, because we talked about this on a previous episode of the podcast. I want more shows like Andor. I want more Star Wars that doesn't have to rely on things that are super over the top or flashy, and then the storytelling or the plot or the writing suffers because we're so reliant on the big blasts and lightsabers, and you know, and Andor shows that Star Wars is capable of that in the Disney era of Star Wars. So the outstanding writing in particular, I feel like it hammers home what people, I think, want in their Star Wars. It's great storytelling. Anything that stood out to you about these awards before we move on to our second piece of news about some Lego Star Wars?
Yeah, like I said, that first one that you mentioned, you know, writing for a drama series, that is, you know, kind of solidifying Star Wars in the TV realm. You know what I mean? Like, there hasn't been really anything, I would think, that would even, you know, even get a nomination at this point, you know. And I could be wrong on that, but especially on something about, like, writing. I think that's probably the key part of it, you know. I mean, of course, things like in sci-fi, you're going to have like outstanding like visual effects and things of that nature. But to have something like writing, I think that's a really good trophy to put on your stand, because it just means that it's a more of a legitimate type of, not saying that like, you know, special effects and all that aren't, but you know, when you talk about shows, you want to, you know, you want those stories to really resonate with people. And the only way to really do that is to write a good story. So kind of like what you're saying is that, you know, that was probably the most important one out of all of them that Star Wars and their fans can celebrate.
We did it. We claim this win or Andor. So you mentioned other Star Wars series. And I was looking it up and kind of looking into it, and I see other awards won by The Mandalorian mostly, but I got to sneeze here. Hold on. Had to leave you all in anticipation for the second half of that sentence. But nothing The Mandalorian has won is anything about the writing of the show. Most of it is about stunt performance, actually, interestingly enough. Of the 15 Emmys across three seasons that it's won, like half of them are for like stunt coordination or visual effects. Now they do have other stuff in there like cinematography, prosthetics, but Mandalorian did not win an award for best writing at any point. There are other shows that have won Emmys, but it just feels like best writing for a drama series is just on another level, I think, like we talked about. So I think if Andor continued to go on even longer, that it could win more Emmys than Mandalorian did. But I guess we'll never know, unfortunately, since the Andor saga concluded with just the two seasons. But all that to say, those of you who are fans of television, hope you guys enjoyed the Emmys, and let us know what you think. If one of your favorite shows missed out on one of the awards, let us know in the maybe the video version, the comments of this podcast episode. Next up, we've got some Lego Star Wars news. Not quite pieces of the past yet, but Joey, we have the Lego holiday sets and then another Lego announcement here in a sec as well. Do you want to tell us a bit about, first of all, the holiday sets?
Yeah, so it's gingerbread themed, which I've definitely seen other Lego sets that have gone like the gingerbread theme. But to see an AT-AT in the gingerbread form, I think is something special. You also get a gingerbread Darth Vader minifigure. Instead of a lightsaber, he has a candy cane and what looks like maybe an apple pie. I'm not quite sure exactly what he's holding in his other hand, but just a super fun set. I like to do Lego builds for the holidays because they're nice little knickknacks around the house to remind you that it is that time of year. Can you believe it, Ben? We're like halfway through September.
I cannot.
And we're barreling through this year, almost talking about Christmas. I've seen the Spirit Halloween stores already, so that's been in there since July. But you know, I went to Costco the other day and they had Christmas stuff, so it's that time already. It's that time. Soon we'll be hearing Mariah Carey singing her song on the radio. But yeah, just to see, I think this one comes out October 1st, so this will be coming up in the next couple of weeks here. So I think I might pick this one up. This one looks like a fun little build. I love the any vehicles. I really do like to build because it's a hefty build. So like I said, to have it around the house, it has like the little Christmas lights that are around it. The turrets have like candy cane design. So it's definitely a fun design. So I'm excited to try to pick this up and build it. You think you might pick this one up, Ben?
I don't know. I think I could see myself getting it. I also, here's the thing, moving to a new house, now everything I buy, I'm like, how would I transport that if I ever moved to a different house? And for something like Lego, which I love putting Lego stuff together, I've got a Mandalorian helmet somewhere in here. I'm like, how would I transport it? So I like this one. I don't know how much transportability it would have. I think I actually, if I was picking between this and our other one you're going to talk about, I think I would actually go with the other one if I had to pick between the two of them.
Right. Well, I guess we should just go into the next one then.
Yeah, there you go. It's a Death Star. I think this one's because it's bigger and because there's something about it, like all the characters on the different levels. That to me, the other one kind of has the fun appeal. This one has like the whoa, that thing is
right. Yeah, this
sweet.
Has more. I feel like this one has more display. Like you'd like display this on a wall, and it would look pretty sweet, like next to your Star Wars stuff. So this is the newest Ultimate Collection series of the Death Star. I believe there's another one, but this one is more of like a cross section of it. So it's not like the full Death Star that you're kind of seeing. It's just like, you know, you see the cross section and a few levels of it. and there looks to be a ton of minifigures. You got our, you know, the droids, you've got the stormtroopers, you've got Han, like the Imperial officer. So just to be able to one, have all the minifigures. I love the minifigures part of it. The tough part would be, like you said, if you ever wanted to, oh, I like this one, Leia in the kind of in her cell here. If you had to like transport it, yeah, I don't know how you do this. This is a massive one. We've got Obi-Wan here, you know, with the reactor. So there's like a lot of like good, you know, good little scenes here just in this one build. You got Chewbacca and Han in the compactor. So there's just a lot here, and I think it would just be a ton of fun to build it. I don't know where in my house I would display this, because this is a massive build. I think it's over 9,000 pieces, if I'm not mistaken.
My goodness.
So it's gonna be a long build, and I think it's like 900. I think it's $1,000 or something like that too. So this is not a cheap set by any means. But you know, because of all of that's involved in it, all that it shows, I think it's actually, what's ironic is that's actually not a terrible price for a Star Wars Lego build with that many pieces. Like the per piece price for it is actually better than other sets that they have. But it you know, the sticker shock of $1,000 on a Lego build might be just too much for somebody. But they have Andor here too. Look at that. They had Andor even building. He was doing the build. Remember, he was just building the pieces for the Death Star there. That's a nice little Easter egg there for those who might not know that. So yeah, and it has like the throne room scene with Vader and Luke. I mean, it's just you know, we could just go on and on about all of the scenes that, you know, pivotal and huge scenes in Star Wars that you could just remake. And for some reason we have a stormtrooper in a bath with a rubber ducky. So another little Easter egg, you know, you never really think about how they stay clean on these things. So there's a little insight here of how, and very Lego too, may I add. When we're going to talk a little bit about the humor that Lego has, and I think it really shows here.
Yeah, they definitely have to include some of that humor. Gibbo,
oh, from
giving
the video
us
game,
too,
yeah, that's
from a video
yeah.
game, yeah, yeah. So I would like to recant my previous statement, saying I'd probably prefer this one. I did not see the price tags on either of these. If I ever had a spare, you know, $1,000 laying around, maybe. But if I'm choosing between $1,000 and $60, I'm probably going with the $60 route. Although I would love to see someone buy this and actually like make a time lapse of putting it together. I would mm-hmm. definitely be interested in that. But some cool Lego sets coming to a. I believe Walmart is the primary distributor. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I mean, they'll be there. Obviously, the Lego store will have them as well. So those are the usual spots. You know, sometimes they'll have some of the sets at Target mm-hmm. and the usual spots of retail, you know, Star Wars stuff. So, but yeah, definitely a Lego store. I believe the Death Star build comes out on October 4th, not the 1st, along with the... Right. The other holiday set.
Right. Well,
so if you guys want us to build, if you want us to build this on stream, give us $1,000 and we'll do it.
Yeah, there you go. We're now accepting donations, and every dollar goes towards the $1,000 Death Star. Both of these will be available in a store near you in less than 3 weeks. Check them out. The big thing for today's episode, we've been talking Lego Star Wars for most of the episode. We're going to continue to do that for the rest. Although in this instance, we're talking specifically about the newest addition to Star Wars shows coming to Disney Plus on September 19th of this year, Rebuild the Galaxy Pieces of the Past. Now, this is coming out in succession to last year's Lego Star Wars Rebuild the Galaxy. This is, of course, kind of like season 2, titled Pieces of the Past, as I just mentioned. It picks up pretty much back where the first season, if we're calling it that, left off. This one, again, much like the first one, is going to be four sort of mini episodes. And for those of you who know anything about Lego Star Wars, or really just Lego movies in general, they rely very heavily on humor. And it's not just humor that's only kid humor. Like, they somehow find ways of kind of working in elements of adult humor in there that doesn't come across, obviously, as like crass or anything like that. It feels like you can go to watch this whether you are, you know, 5 or 55 or 105, and you'll enjoy it no matter what, just the same. And so the plot, if you haven't seen the first season of this, basically it's really about these two brothers, Sig and Dev. And they, I believe it's called the Cornerstone, which is activated. And this basically makes the whole world topsy-turvy. Good is bad, bad is good. And the galaxy is rewritten and rebuilt, so to speak, hence the name of the show. And characters like Darth Vader, who are obviously traditionally the big bads of Star Wars, is now a good guy in this scenario. And characters even like Jar Jar Binks, you know, who have been memed for years, ends up finally the meme is brought to life, and he's Darth Jar Jar in season one of this show. There's lots of other examples like that. But before we get into maybe some of the more details about reminders of specific characters, looking back at the first season of this show and kind of the time since then, is there anything in particular that you're most looking forward to seeing in Rebuild the Galaxy Pieces of the Past when it comes out in 2 days? I know Calamitous, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, is the name of the, or is it Solitus?
Solitus, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I said Calamitous in the last video we did about Pieces of the Past. Solitus is the kind of the big bad character in season two who we're being introduced to. That's something I'm looking forward to. Is there anything in particular you're looking forward to or hoping to see in season two?
Well, you know, we did watch the trailer together. So I think the, you know, what, you know, if you've watched the trailer, you can kind of see that Sid and Dev have been reunited at some point. And it looks like they're on the same team trying to possibly fight the Solitus. If you watch the trailer, it looks like Solitus is basically trying to suck in all of the galaxy through some type of rift. I mean, honestly, the story is pretty compelling already. Very sci-fi. Like, I could imagine this being like a Marvel movie also, you know, with like the rift in the sky and planets getting sucked into it, you know. So I'm excited to see what Lego has to, you know, what they're going to do this time. Like you said, they've been pretty good. You know, they have a pretty good track record, Lego movies, with their, you know, their content. So I'm going to go into this with no expectations, kind of like I did with season one. I did recently just rewatch season one here and enjoyed it again, just enjoyed it all over again without any, you know, it's been a year since we really watched it. So I had to rewatch it and kind of remember storylines and such. But for them to come through with a story like they did on the first one, I'm pretty confident that, you know, this story is going to be pretty good too. So, like I said, no expectations particularly, but one thing that it's, you know, hard not to see and, you know, hope for is the reuniting brothers of Dev and Sig.
Yeah. Dev, who in the topsy-turvy world, the upside-down world where everything is backwards, is now Darth Dev. I think Darth Devastator.
Darth Devastation.
Yeah, yeah. So I hope we get to see sort of a reunification of those two. It felt like at the end of season one, we almost had it for a second. A thought I would have about kind of just Lego Star Wars Rebuild the Galaxy in general, do you think they stop here? I could easily see this being something that they keep going with for several more seasons, you know, four mini episodes every year or something like that.
I mean, this isn't canon, right? So this isn't something that they have to make sure they hit specific plot points and things like that. So just like what they've done with Visions, which I think is coming out relatively soon, too, if I'm not mistaken. October, Vision season 3 in October. So the reason those things are so exciting and fun to watch is because they don't have, you know, particular storylines they have to follow, you know, rules that they have to follow. And kind of like, and even watching season one, they even kind of poke fun at things that the fans maybe did not like about the original, like, movies. If I remember right, there was when they were first introducing Rey's character, I think the narrator, who I think is actually Sig in this instance, he was talking about Rey, and the way he explained her, like, Rey, who we think is a Skywalker or something, you know, I mean, that's like the line, you know. So it's very self-aware, and it can get away with a lot. So that, like I said, that's what I'm looking forward to. But yeah, this should just be fun all over again.
I can definitely appreciate a show when a show is able to sort of like poke fun at itself like that. I think that really, you know, to the average audience member, I think they recognize that too. And there's something about like when a show has a sense of self-deprecation that makes you almost more endeared to how funny it is. So,
right.
Rebuild the Galaxy definitely has some sprinkling of that in there. So one thing we wanted to do kind of as our sort of main piece of prepping for the episodes that come out in 2 days' time, just sort of give like a quick overview refresher of each of the characters in the show. We've sort of already talked about both Sig and Dev, but they're the brothers. Sig is the protagonist of the show. He's a Nerf herder from Finessa, and he's got this hidden force sensitivity. And like we said earlier, he activates the Cornerstone, which is this Jedi relic, which ends up rewriting the galaxy, and all the characters' roles get completely flipped backwards. He's Dev's younger brother, and really his change over the course of the show goes from being this Nerf herder into what's known as a Force builder in order to restore order. And so Dev, his brother, really is an adventurous one. Oh, by the way, I should mention Sig is played by Gaten Matarazzo. For those of you who are Stranger Things fans, he plays Dustin, I want to say. Is that the character's name in Stranger Things?
I don't know. That it's been like forever since Stranger Things. I don't remember anything about that storyline now.
That is correct.
Now Dustin, that I said,
and the new series is coming out on Thanksgiving, I believe.
Oh, nice. Oh, Stranger Things?
Yes,
oh,
the man. Final oh. season.
Okay.
Finally. The finally season is what it should be called.
Yep. They're all 30 years old.
Yeah, right. They're all 30.
They probably have age like 10 years, and in the show they're like a year or two older or something. But anyways, yeah, he plays the main character Sig in the show, and his older brother Dev is really the one that's like craving adventure. He wants to travel the galaxy with his friend Yessi, who's another character we'll talk about in a second. But after the Cornerstone event happens, reality has changed, and he becomes Darth Devastator and really is the primary antagonist, which, you know, I think he'll remain kind of the primary antagonist, but I think it'll be sort of like a Kylo and Snoke dynamic, or Kylo and Emperor dynamic, if you're talking about episode 9, where like Darth Dev's the main bad guy, sort of, but there's a higher up, more powerful bad guy in Solitus in season 2. Dev is played by Tony Revolori, which I think I know him most recently from, I think he was in the most recent Scream movie, I want to say. Help me out with his IMDb.
He was also in one of the recent Spider-Man, the ones with...
Oh, yes. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he was one of like the classmates of Spider-Man. He was kind of a jerk in that one. So yeah, I think that's what I remember him from, at least.
Yeah. That does ring a bell. But really, his relationship, Dev's relationship, the character that's played by Tony Revolori, his relationship with Sig is central to the show. He kind of opposes and tempts him at the same time, trying to get him to join him on the dark side once, you know, the universe gets flip-flopped. And Really, he's power obsessed. He's kind of got mixed motivations in addition to having a desire for control. But he's also sort of fueled by fear a little bit too, as most people who use the dark side of the Force are. So those are sort of the two main characters. The other character we really wanted to talk about, we've got a couple more, but probably arguably my favorite character of the show, I don't know how you feel about this guy, is Jedi Bob, played by Bobby Monaghan, who's probably most well known for being on SNL. Jedi Bob is a lot of the comedic, the comic relief in this show, more or less. How do you feel about his character?
Very self-aware. I think that's one of the hallmarks of any Lego movie, is that he knows where he is useful and where he's not. One thing he keeps saying is that he cannot, he's not very good with lightsaber. He kind of says that a couple of times. In fact, at the end of the first season there, he gives his lightsaber to Sig to help, fight his brother, Dev, at the, last episode there. And even Sig is like, yeah, you're actually pretty bad at it. I'm surprised, just to have those like little one-liners in there. Obviously, you've never seen a movie, but in a Lego movie, you definitely would. So, his story is actually very interesting too, because, he was the first one to, experience what happens when you rebuild the galaxy. If if the cornerstone is removed or, moved out of place, because in fact, he was the one who had to see his galaxy disappear because of the cornerstone being moved, that would end up being, Sig and Dev's kind of initial, galaxy. So I know if you haven't watched the series, that those sentences might not have made sense, but basically Jedi Bob was kind of the first initiator of removing a cornerstone and having his galaxy kind of get flipped upside down. So it ended up being like a pretty good story because of that. He had hidden that information from Sig the entire time, up until like the second to last episode, I think the third episode, and to kind of finally come clean. One thing that I think was kind of lacking was Sig was like, I guess that's what's going to happen now, is that we're going to just have to build a new universe. It's Lego, so you can't get too deep into it, I suppose. But it's much like Leia's entire planet being blown up and her not like really doing anything, kind of reminded me of that a little bit. But it's Lego. I'm not expecting this to win any Emmys or anything like that. So, Jedi Bob is, like you said, a comic relief, and it's not usual because he's a Jedi. So when you think of Jedi, you don't really think of comedy. But he, obviously, Bobby Monaghan is very funny. I think he was also in Resistance, if I'm not mistaken. He was a voice in Star Wars Resistance, so he's come back for that, for some more Star Wars, especially in animation.
I did not know that. That's interesting. I'm curious, like, who he plays in Star Wars Resistance, but Jedi Bob, I don't know if you mentioned this or not, but his origin as a character is based kind of off of a meme in some ways. Mm. In the sense that his origin is a based on an old Lego Star Wars minifigure character. And I guess there were, and I remember we talked about this last year a little bit, this minifigure, for whatever reason, people began to refer to informally as Jedi Bob. And so then when they put Jedi Bob into the show, it was like, oh my gosh, like the meme has come right to life. So,
yeah. And to have like that connection with your community, the Lego community, it really speaks volumes, because, this is who it was made for.
Yeah. Lego Star Wars kind of feels like the opportunity to really listen to the community and put in all the stuff you want to, and you oftentimes can't. So, by the way, Bobby Monaghan plays Orca and Yanni in Star Wars Resistance, who I think that like one of them was that big, like it's like a pig character who works on the ships. Anyways, that I'm not gonna pretend that I remember half of what came from Star Wars Resistance. A couple other characters to run through real quick, and then I want to sort of get your thoughts on some of the new characters coming to pieces of the past. We've got Thervo, who is a Gonk droid, a friend of Sig's, and really kind of his roommate at the same time. He's also part of the comic relief of this show. In some ways, most of the characters are actually comic relief, but he's really an emotional support character. He's the trusty droid sidekick friend. And after Sig's rewriting of reality, his status changes, and then he's destroyed at one point and then rebuilt. And then even gains the ability to speak at one point, given to him by Sig after training with Jedi Bob. So, you know, every good protagonist needs a lovable sidekick, a lovable emotional support droid, you know? And he's played by Michael Cusack, who I cannot honestly say I'm familiar with his work.
Yeah, I think he's done a lot of voice work and I think writing for just a bunch of animated shows. Nothing that I like particularly have ever seen, but looks like that's where his history is.
And he's Australian, and I think we talked about it last time that his name Servo is based on what we call gas stations, which are service stations over here. We call them servos.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. So I think that's what most countries, or is it just Australia, Gibbo?
Well, it's just our name for it. We call them. You go into the servo.
Going to the servo.
It's like the, okay, you know, okay, the slang for it.
Yeah, and okay, and it, we should say that he does say mate, so I think the implication that the servo is in fact Australian.
Australia exists in the Star Wars universe, confirmed.
Mm-hmm. At least the accent does.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then kind of a couple more characters here that are probably not how you know them in the actual original trilogy or the original prequels, but one of them is the Landalorian, who
yes. Yes.
This one in particular, I know you love. This one's actually voiced by I don't want to have to look it up. I should know this by heart, Joey.
It's literally on the notes.
This is blasphemy.
Billy Dee Williams, there it is. I was trying to remember his name without looking, and I'm showing my prequel bias. Is that what's happening right now?
I guess so. That's shocking that you don't know Billy Dee Williams.
Well, it's funny. You ever have those moments in life where, like, if someone asked me on the street, I probably would have been like, "Oh yeah, Billy Dee Williams," and now right. I'm recording a podcast and talking about it, and I'm like, "Oh, brain fart." Billy Dee Williams is voicing the Landalorian. Joey, this one for you, I imagine, is one of your favorites, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, he showed up literally in the last scene of the series in season one. So you know that, you know, and to give a little context, you know, the dark side kind of turned against Darth Dev a little bit, like Darth Rey and Darth Jar Jar kind of were fighting against him because they were worried that he was not, you know, being true to the dark side or whatever. So essentially Darth Rey and Darth Rose end up looking to hire a bounty hunter to go hunt down Darth Dev, and the Landalorian was the one who they chose. So you know, to see that it's Billy Dee, and it's even like Billy Dee, you know, I guess the Lando with like the, you know, the weathered look, he's got the gray mustache there and the minifig, and to see my guy Lando Calrissian show up in a Lego story was really the icing on the cake that was season one of Rebuild the Galaxy.
That was definitely a big surprise. And another returning voice actor, or not a returning voice actor, but perhaps a returning actor from the movies themselves, is Kelly Marie Tran, who plays Darth Rose, one of Darth Dev's like entourage of Sith Lords, so to speak. You know, I think this one means something special too, because she is an actress who garnered probably a lot of unfair hate during the release of after the release of episode 8, The Last Jedi. And so to see her invited back into a project like this, much like our next character we'll talk about too, I think is a good thing for Star Wars. You know, her being able to like really say, you know, I'm part of the Star Wars community, mm-hmm. and like this role is something that's special, I'm sure, to her. And yeah, Darth Nubbs in the background too. Givo making a note too. Can't forget
from
about
Young Jedi
Darth Nubbs.
Adventures that we definitely are caught up with all of the episodes, right, Ben?
Yeah, I've seen all two of those episodes.
Hey, I got the four. Wow, I doubled up on you. I didn't realize.
I don't actually remember how many episodes I watched. It was I don't think it was four. but Kelly Marie Tran is returning again to voice Darth Rose. And then another returning actor from the movies is Ahmaad Best, who plays Jar Jar Binks. Of course, now he's bringing to life another meme, so to speak, Darth Jar Jar, that for years people were like, oh, is Jar Jar actually a Sith Lord? Like, look at all the evidence, look at all the clues, and these long, you know, forums on wherever on the internet that are just like trying to convince people about Darth Jar Jar. Well, it's brought to life in Lego Star Wars Rebuild the Galaxy, and Ahmaad Best gets to return to actually voice him. So, lots of fun characters, most of whom are kind of in their opposites of what you would normally expect them to be, including Luke Skywalker, by the way, who I think is like a pod mm-hmm. racer when right. we meet him in the first season.
And I know we don't have this. Yeah, but that's actually also voiced by Mark Hamill. So mm-hmm. I know we didn't. Mm-hmm. I don't think I mentioned that in the notes here. But yeah, I mean, you've got a lot of star power within Star Wars. And I don't know if, I mean, supporting this project, right? I mean, you're talking about, you know, the original actors. They could have easily gotten other people that are just like voice actors that weren't actually in the movies. They've done it with plenty of the other characters. But to get like a Mark Hamill, to get, you know, Ahmaad Best, to get, you know, Billy Dee, those are, you know, these are big names in Star Wars. So to have that, and in fact, I believe Anthony Daniels does C-3PO. I didn't want to like list every single person, but yeah, that's, you know, that is pretty huge to have that kind of support within Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah. It shows the kind of the mindset and the demeanor amongst a lot of those longtime actors who have been a part of it since the 70s and 80s, that they're willing to return to something. It shows what Star Wars means to them too. Like they'll receive a role like this and they'll be like, of course I'll do it. You know, it's right. Star Wars.
But if we get Harrison Ford ever to do something like this, I would be,
yeah,
that would
that
be
one,
something.
That might be too much of an ask. I don't know. We'll see. Hey, he was in episode 9. You never know. We've also got a couple new characters that are coming in Pieces of the Past. Jackson is one of them. Now, as I understand it, this one is also kind of somewhat of a deep reference. I remember when we watched the trailer, when we reacted to the trailer that came out a couple months back. Did you recognize him, or was it like one of the mm-hmm. comments that did?
I recognized them just because I knew that he existed in the Star Wars world. I couldn't mm-hmm. tell you a thing about him, but yeah, there were definitely comments that were excited to see Jackson in this new series.
Yeah, it says I was reading the characters like Star Wars Wiki, and basically like came to work as a smuggler, traveling, became acquainted with Han Solo, and then at one point I think he joins the Rebel Alliance, and interestingly, this was kind of a fun note, he's worshipped as a deity by a certain species on Endor.
Oh.
So okay. Take that for what you will, but this is a character.
So C-3PO, though, right? So him and C-3PO are...
Yeah, yeah.
Deities, right? They'll
have to duke it out on Endor. But he's coming to season 2. I honestly don't know much about the character. I'm sure there are those who are more knowledgeable on Jackson's role in the Star Wars universe, but like my understanding of his character is he's a former smuggler turned Rebel Alliance, kind of a rival of Han Solo, but sort of buddies at the same time. And then my personal favorite. Oh, by the way, Jackson is voiced by Ben Schwartz, most well known recently from Sonic and also from Parks and Rec. And another actor from Star Wars shows rather than movies who's making a entrance into Lego Star Wars is Ashley Eckstein, who's going to be playing Ahsoka, of course. Definitely excited to see this one. I love how Ashley Eckstein like embodies everything about Ahsoka Tano. Like she goes around wearing like, you know, those kind of sweatshirts and like is really an advocate for the character.
Yeah, I mean, she has her whole like product line that's called Her Universe. That's basically, you know, just Ahsoka themed outfits and outerwear and stuff. So just to see that is just amazing. That, you know, that Star Wars, that, you know, Star Wars was such a huge impact on her life that she'll kind of like run a business out of it too, as well, you know. And also, the what's cool about this, her design here in season in Pieces of the Past, is that she's not the regular like minifig. She's like the larger brickhead version. So if you know about Lego, there's like a kind of a larger form factor of like characters that you could have. So this is like a bigger version, and they don't make it like to scale, so it's not like she's the size of all the minifigs. She's like this huge, like, you know, this huge blockhead. And I'm not like, that's not like a derogatory term. Like, that's the name of the type of the Lego that is. It's like a blockhead. It's pretty cool too. So just to be able to see, like, I guess just the Legos in these types of forms too, I think is a fun thing. Or brickhead, definitely. Not blockhead. Sorry, brickhead.
Brickhead. Yeah, excited to see Ashley as part of the show playing Ahsoka. And then last but not least, Solitus, kind of the big bad of season 2, who's displayed on a lot of the promotional images for this second season, is going to be played by Dan Stevens, most well known recently at least for playing the Beast in the live action Beauty and the Beast. Not a whole lot is known about Solitus's role, other than, of course, he is the evil. My question about him for you would be, what do you think he wants? Like, or maybe a better question is, does it matter what he wants? Because this is Lego Star Wars.
Right, yeah. And, you know, it's ultimate domination, of course. You know, he wants to rule the galaxy or the galaxies or any version of the galaxy. I'm curious, it doesn't seem like from the trailer that there didn't seem to be a lot of anything, any scenes that kind of talk about the cornerstone at all. That was the driving factor through all of the first season of Rebuild the Galaxy. So it doesn't seem like that's like in play here. I'd be kind of surprised that it wouldn't be, though. Maybe they just didn't want to put that in the trailer. But it looks like he's just like the big bad. Reminds me of like someone like a Thanos who wants to make these decisions for everyone else, and ultimately rule the galaxy and kind of absorb all the planets and everything like that. And so, yeah, I'm curious in what he's going to bring to the table. But like you said, as it being a Lego movie, does it really matter what he wants? I mean, we're not comparing this to, you know, an emperor necessarily, or, you know, or oh my God, Plagueis or something like that. This is just literally a new Star Wars figure, or a new evil deity here in Star Wars.
I think it would be hilarious if they make a Palpatine. I want a Palpatine joke when he first appears on screen, because he kind of looks like Palpatine. He resembles him a little bit. I want them to say, oh no, somehow Palpatine has returned, and then someone to say, that's not Palpatine. You know, I want them to be self-aware about the silliness that was in episode 9.
Right.
I think that'd be pretty funny. But ultimately, I think what I'm really looking foremost in the new series is I want some laughs. I want some good chuckles. I want a lot of humor that like hits on different levels and isn't just like straight trying to be funny. I want like insightful humor. And I think season 1 definitely delivered that. And I think season 2 absolutely will as well. I have a rundown of yes or no's for you.
Oh,
you want to hit those?
Yeah, let's do it.
So basically, like, will this person be alive at the end of the
season? Sure.
Yeah. Sig.
Yes.
Dev?
No.
Oh, Dev's going to sacrifice himself, you think? Okay. Mm-hmm. Does he get force lifed back to life?
Well, that's for a season 3, right?
Oh, yeah. Fair enough. Jedi Bob.
I mean, you know, Sig is force builder too, so who knows what that entails, right?
Does that involve, like, you can rebuild a person? How does that work?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
How about Jedi Bob?
Ooh,
Jedi He's Bob. The one I could see sacrificing himself this season.
Yeah.
And he becomes like a force ghost.
I want to say he survives as well.
Okay. And I'll go with Solitus as my last yes or no.
Solitus? I think he survives because that's what happens to Dev. I think that's what happens with Dev. Is that he and Dev have a big battle, and Dev is the one that does not survive out of that.
Okay. Oh, and last but not least, do you think this is the end of Lego Star Wars Rebuild the Galaxy, or do you think there will be another? Okay, I think the same. Yeah.
Yeah, the example I give is what happened with the Tales of the series, the Tales of the Jedi, Tales of the Underworld. You know, they tried it 1 year and they saw how successful it was, and they decided, you know what, we're going to keep running with this.
Anthony's joining us in the live stream of the YouTube chat saying, "Hi, gentlemen, what's up? Really looking forward to Rebuild the Galaxy, Pieces of the Past. Honestly, Solitus sounds more original and interesting a villain than Palps and Kylo. Will the High Republic get mentioned?" My inclination is to say probably not, but I wouldn't put it past them to include some High Republic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I hope so. I'll say that. But if I was betting on it, I'd probably say I'd be more doubtful. But I will certainly be hopeful for it and surprised if it does happen.
I would say the same too. Is that I would like to have some of that mentioned in there as well, just because of, I guess, what happened with the only other non-book, you know, High Republic show that, you know, that was released with The Acolyte. So hopefully maybe we get, I would love to see some type of reference to the stranger Manny Jacinto's role. I would love to see something, at least a mention, you know. But I think there is now, I did see that there was another trailer that came out like within the past couple of weeks, Ben. I don't think that you've seen it, if I'm not mistaken. But there is some more people that we've seen in Star Wars that will make an appearance here in the second iteration of the series.
Interesting. Are you saying a High Republic person?
I might be, or I might not be. Who knows?
Oh, okay.
Oh. I know, mean, it's out there if you want to watch it, but yeah, it's just I like literally just stumbled across it. I was like, oh, there's another trailer here. I didn't even see this. Or it wasn't even a trailer. I think it was an actual scene.
Oh, okay. Like a full scene from the show. Huh.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be funny if Marcion Roe shows up as a do-gooder character rather than an anarchical despot threatening the galaxy.
Mm. Marcion Roe High Republic, yeah.
I would be game for that. We gotta read some more High Republic soon too. That's
we do, we do
on our radar. But all that to say, lots to look forward to with Lego Star Wars Rebuild the Galaxy Pieces of the Past. One last thing I will say, we were talking about it right before we started recording the podcast. We don't know, part of what they do with these release dates that drives, I think, both of us a little crazy sometimes when we're, you know, thinking about making content on the shows, is they don't tell you what time it's coming out. And that could be as early as like 3 a.m. Eastern, 12 a.m. Pacific, which for both of us is 2 a.m. Central Time. Or it could, they've done like evening time releases. Like back when The Mandalorian was coming out, they did, I think, like 6 or 7 or 8 p.m. for us. I can't remember. But all that to say, there is no clarification anywhere, at least that we found online, what time this is coming out on Friday. So could be like at midnight Pacific time, or it could be sometime the next day. Either way, we do plan to do some reactions to the 4 episodes, which will go live on the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel. Those will either be available on Friday or Saturday, depending upon the release time of the episodes. But all that to say, let us know what you are most excited for LEGO Star Wars Rebuild the Galaxy Pieces of the Past. Shout out to Anthony today for joining us in the live stream of the podcast in the YouTube chat. And did you have any last thoughts, Joey?
No, I'm just excited for this. You know, we haven't gotten Legos in a while, and Star Wars in a bit. So to have this, something that we can just have fun with, you know, I think that, you know, that's what things like Rebuild the Galaxy, Visions, kind of bring to Star Wars. It's just that there's no anxiety going into something like this, like having expectations. You know, we're just going to have some fun, see some Legos. You know, we didn't mention how like Chewbacca's in this as well. This large Chewbacca character who is towering over the minifigs. And, you know, I think, you know, just to have things that are familiar with Star Wars, but also you don't have to worry about having to, you know, check boxes and making sure certain things hit, because again, this is just fun. This is supposed to be fun. It's Legos, and it's going to be a fun time.
Definitely. I am very much looking forward to this, and to speak to what you just said as well, like there is this element of Rebuild the Galaxy that you just feel like no matter what they do, it's not going to feel like they quote unquote messed it up, which is often like, I think the fear for maybe some or maybe many Star Wars fans with, you know, other shows that interact with canon in ways that this show obviously doesn't. So it has the freedom and the flexibility to be fun and entertaining at the same time, which is something to look forward to. Lastly, Anthony also said, can't wait to see Jackson. Bet the miniseries will release in the late afternoon for the kids and the kidults. Perhaps. I don't know. I could see it going either way, either being like a 2 a.m. release or an evening release, afternoon release. Either way, I'll be watching it and excited to watch it. So thank you to all those of you for listening to today's episode on all things LEGO Star Wars. Hope you're looking forward to Rebuild the Galaxy Pieces of the Past as much as we are. And of course, thank you to Gibbo for producing today's episode. Gibbo, who put in a lot of time and work, not only for today's episode, lots of images that were required and necessary, but if you missed it off the top of the podcast, the brand new intro, which will be played at the beginning of every episode. So no more reading off the intro thing at the beginning of the episode. Now there's a fun video and music and everything that goes along with it. So thank you to all the hard work that went in behind the scenes for that. Once again, Gibbo, we appreciate you. And I know everyone watching and listening does as well. So we look forward to being back in just about 48 hours or so for the reactions to Rebuild the Galaxy Pieces of the Past. And we'll catch you with the next podcast episode here in about 2 weeks' time as well, when we will be basically reviewing and breaking down Rebuild the Galaxy Pieces of the Past, and looking forward to doing that as well. So thank you everyone for listening today. Shout out to George Lucas, shout out to Dave Filoni, and we will see you in the Rebuild the Galaxy Pieces of the Past reactions. And until next time, thanks so much again, and may the Force be with you.